as we go through these various different kings, one of the things that I'm paying attention to are various themes or lessons that we can learn. Things that can find helpful for us as we go through these passages of Scripture. And so, what's interesting in this passage is you will see the term humble come up. And so tonight we're going to talk about humility. And what does that mean? What does that look like? And it's certainly something worth our attention in our lives. All right? So when we talk about humility, it's kind of sometimes elusive as far as what is it? How do we define it? Do we have it? You know, everybody's afraid to say, I am humble. Because, yeah. Right. So, so we're going to talk about this, and hopefully this will be encouragement to us as we wrestle with the pride of life, because that is very much at us all the time. The pride of life. So Rehoboam is just helping us out here in many different fronts, isn't he? We're learning from him. Remember, we talked about how these things happened for our examples, and these things were written down for our admonition to set our minds and establish our minds. That from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. And so we're going to just keep on gleaning and being admonished tonight on this subject of humility. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him." All right, so just pay attention to these things as we're reading through. One of the things you've got to notice here is it says, "and had strengthened himself." And what is often coincides with the pride is strength. You see these things go together often when one has strengthened themselves, there's this tendency, this rising up of, well, I'm pretty good. I'm all right. So he strengthened himself and he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. So again, learn from what we have in the Old Testament here. They forsake the law of the Lord. So God brings opposition to them, and it says so very clearly, it's because they transgressed against the Lord. I mean, this is what you should expect. You are God's people, and God has laid out his expectation for you in the law. You are forsaking that law, so therefore I'm going to bring opposition. With 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubims, the Sakims, and the Ethiopians, and he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. So the text is setting this up for us as a pretty tragic situation. Things had been going well. If you remember, all those priests had come throughout the country and had come to Jerusalem, and things were well for 3 years. And now he's strengthened himself. He is forsaking the law of the Lord, and now Egypt is right at his doorstep, right around Jerusalem, and a massive army at that. So now, verse 5, "Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam." You got to love how God pursues his people. Wow. I mean, don't miss this, because here you've got his people. This is his people, and they have forsaken the law of the Lord, but yet God is pursuing them. He sends a prophet. A prophet is a messenger taking the message from God to the people. And so Shemaiah the prophet has come to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, here's the message, thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. That's the message. All right. This is somewhat obvious if you are surrounded by a massive army and you're in Jerusalem and all your outlying cities have been overtaken, and there you are. Big army is surrounding you. But the fact that God sends the prophet is significant, because the prophet has a reputation for being the spokesman of God, the man of God, as we saw in chapter 11 and verse 2. You see, this is not the first time Shemaiah has brought a message to Rehoboam. And so, this message, thus saith the Lord, you have forsaken me, and therefore have I left you in this situation. Why are you here in this place at this time with this surrounding army? Why? Because you have forsaken the Lord. There is a what God is doing is he's helping the king and his princes to see the link that they are missing in their pride of forsaking the law. But he's seeing, let's see the link, guys. You forsake me, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have trouble. You have forsaken me. Well, what also what happens is when we're confronted with the Word of God, and this happens with the Scriptures as well. When you're confronted with the Scriptures, what it does is it brings you to a place of decision, doesn't it? All right. So those who push aside the Scriptures and do not spend time with it, it should be no surprise to us that they can live however they want. They walk there, and they're walking just away, because they aren't being confronted with the Word of God, because the Word of God has that effect on you. When you have this open before you, or someone brings it to you, or you're a preacher, you hear it, it's going to bring you to this place of either I hear that and I don't care, or I hear it and it hits me, I care. I need to make a change. So the Word of God has come to King Rehoboam. You have forsaken me, so therefore you're in this situation. So the king is now at a crossroads, a point of decision in his life. Point of application for us is, listen, church, be bold and allow God to confront you every day. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. The prophet brings the Word of God, and the king has a choice to make. What do you think he does? Now, Rehoboam surprised us before, and guess what? He surprises us again. Why? No, I'll look at this. Verse 6, whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves. And they said, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. What's happened? The king and his princes, they humble themselves. This is the terminology of the Scriptures. This is what it says. It doesn't say that they change their mind, or even use the word repent, even though it could be, you could make the case that's what they're doing. The Scripture uses the term humble themselves. Isn't that curious? They humbled themselves. So what the implication is that they were not humble. They were not in a humble state up to this point. Well, let's just review a little bit so that helps us understand what pride is, right? Because you have pride. Pride is, I can do it my own way. I can forsake the law of the Lord and I'll be okay. I don't need God. It's a rising up in your own strength and not relying on the strength of God. And so, therefore, their strength is being confronted by another strength, Shishak, and they aren't looking too good. And then the prophet brings the greatest strength, God, in his might, and confronts the king, and so therefore he's got a decision to make. What is he going to do? And it says, the text says, they humbled themselves. Now, in their humility, their language or understanding, we should say, of the Lord is expressed. Notice the text tells us they say the Lord is righteous. That's the only, how shall we say, the fruit that we see of this humility, this change, is that this understanding of God is communicated. The Lord is righteous. So this implies that there is a turn of heart, seemingly, concerning the Lord. In other words, the Lord is part of, needs to be a part of our lives, and we believe He is right. He's righteous. If the Lord is righteous, then we heed Him. So humility will bring about a right understanding of the Lord. Are you willing to regularly consider who God is? A humble heart, a humble person will regularly come face to face with who God is. They will live within that understanding and realize the Lord is, as Rehoboam has said here, the Lord is righteous. We saw that verse 7 says, gives us a very interesting perspective. Remember, this is a narrative, so we have a narrator. We'll change it to, Hedy's an English scholar here. How do we say it? Narrator. Thank you. Okay. So there's a narrator, and then there's the dialogue. There's the various different characters, right? Well, if you look here, the narrator, which, reminder, this is the Spirit of God, right? Okay? But the narrator says, and when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, what an interesting insight, right? The Lord saw that they humbled themselves. I mean, this is like the view from heaven. Like, this is one of the reasons why this is the Word of God. Like, who else is going to be able to speak for the Lord here? How can we say the Lord saw this except it be the Lord writing this, right? You know, just catch these little things as you're reading. So when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah saying, they have humbled themselves. And then we see there is a change in the way that the Lord treats them. So humility brings about an understanding of the righteousness of the Lord, but it also, humility is noted by the Lord and He honors it. Humility is honored by the Lord. Now, Rehoboam is far from perfect. I mean, he has his issues. He's kind of in this up and down cycle in his life. And yet God is pursuing him. Anybody ever live an up and down life? meaning in your relationship with God, and sometimes you are right with Him, and sometimes you're not. Yeah. You see, God understands our lives better than we ever do. And yet He continues to pursue after Rehoboam, even in his up and down cycles. And here we have Him honoring, the Lord honoring Rehoboam's humility. How do we see that? Well, we see that He says, I'm not going to destroy them. Now, Shishak could have easily destroyed Rehoboam. But the Lord says, I am not going to destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. What is that saying? Rehoboam, you're safe right now. You're okay right now. Shishak is not going to be your end. But the Lord continues, though. He says in verse 8, nevertheless, they shall be His servants, and that they may know My service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. In other words, Shishak is going to heavily tax you. You're kind of going to be like a vassal underneath Egypt for a time. You're going to be subject in some ways to their power and strength, but you're not going to lose your kingdom. You're not going to lose your life. But I want you, the Lord speaking to Rehoboam and the princes, I want you to understand what it means to be in service to somebody else. Now, this is a throwback to when we first met Rehoboam. Remember? He assumes the throne and he had a choice to make. Listen to this, to the counselors of his father's court, and show kindness to his people, which at that time was a unified kingdom. Or listen to his peers and just grind them into the dust. Grind his subjects into the dust. We know what he chose. He chose to heed his peers, to put his people under extreme pressure and service. Now, where is he? He is in a place where he is serving. He is no longer at the top looking down, but now he's at the bottom looking up. He's now in a place of service. Wow. You know, a humble person is going to experience times of great learning. Times when you are in the position of, I've got to learn these things, whether I like it or not. Humility does have the idea of being brought low. Being at that position where instead of looking down, you are looking up. It's not necessarily a bad place to be. Because let's remember something. In that place, we have a better understanding of our God because we have a true understanding of ourselves. I'm not who I think I am. Therefore, God is mighty. Now, I found something interesting as I was just researching this word for humble. It is also translated in other passages as subdued. I just want to illustrate this briefly by going to Judges chapter 3. So just go to Judges chapter 3. And you remember, the book of Judges is a cyclical book. Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. And so the people, after Joshua and the elders had died, the people in the promised land then began to serve the gods of the other nations around them. And so therefore, God brought them under the power of their enemies for a time. And then God brought judges to deliver them. And it's just back and forth, back and forth. The word that is translated humble in 2 Chronicles is translated subdued in this passage and other places as well. And I just wanted you to see this, and I think it's a good insight for this term, humble. Judges chapter 3 and verse 29. Verse 30. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Now, just picking that out, you know, I just want you to see something here. If Moab is subdued by Israel, what does that mean? It means that Moab is no longer the power, the one in control, but Israel is. So there has been an alteration to the power, to the authority structure. Now, let's just put our minds with that in our minds, that idea of being subdued. We now think of this term humility and the situation that Rehoboam is in. And we realize that he is subdued by the reality of who God is, the Lord is righteous, by the Lord's authority. So a humble person is going to understand in reality that he is and has been subdued, brought low by one greater than himself. And when that person is God, that's a great place to be. Now, so with that in mind, we go to James chapter 4. So what I'm doing here is we were gleaning humility from this Old Testament passage and from the example that we're seeing with Rehoboam, and it's written down for our admonition. So we're setting our minds are being established. And now we're going into the New Testament, where we're going to see how the New Testament writers are addressing this with the church. And this is helpful for our application. So James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 10, look at it. Actually, no, let's go back to 6. James 4, 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, what we've heard this verse so many times, but what we miss so often, what I have missed, I'll speak for myself, what I have missed is the fact, humble myself in the sight of the Lord, it says, and he shall lift you up. In other words, he's the authority. He is the one who's in control. And so humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord is realizing and understanding, I've been subdued by him, and it's up to him to lift me up. Now, what's so fascinating about this is God is faithful in this. God is faithful. But he's the one who does the lifting. Why? Because he's the authority. When you're humble and you've humbled yourselves in the sight of the Lord, you are saying, I am subdued by the Almighty God. And therefore, it's up to him. Now we just go to 1 Peter chapter 5. since we're right there, just a couple pages towards the back of your Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away." I just wanted you to see in the context, there's the chief shepherd, all right? That just gives us a view right in the context, there's an authority. There's somebody higher than us. "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Notice the structure. There's an authority structure that is embedded in this verse, embedded for the church to grapple with, to understand. So verse 6, "Humble yourselves therefore," now look at this, "humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Listen, we like the exaltation time. We like that place. We like to be in the high seats that look down. We could say, that's not right. But listen, naturally in our flesh, that's what we crave. That's the pride of life. That's who we are naturally, apart from the work of the Spirit of God in us. That's why you've got to, you got those conflicts in your marriage sometimes. Because you want to have the high place. That's the high place. That's why you've got difficulties in relationships. That's what can happen in a church when somebody wants to assume the high place. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." Why does Rehoboam respond the way he does? It's because the prophet was sent from the mighty God and said, "Thus saith the Lord." And Rehoboam had enough remaining understanding of who God is and his greatness that he responded appropriately. Because we have the Lord who is mighty. And in the very text that we're looking at, Rehoboam sees the mightiness of God as God dictates what Shishak is going to do. I highly doubt that Shishak realized he was being controlled by God, but Rehoboam should have seen it and should have understood that the mighty hand of God was moving things, so therefore he wasn't destroyed, but yet he had to pay service. I believe it's very fitting to complete the context here in 1 Peter, though. Chapter 5, verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." That's not your time, that's his time. Because remember, you're subdued by his authority, so therefore he, being the authority, understands the right time, and he will do it when he deems best. Verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." People who are brought low, they do have cares. They do have things they wrestle with, but they understand where they can take those cares because they are now under the authority of the Lord. If you've been a student of the Scriptures for any length of time, you're going to understand the Lord is a good master and a good authority, and you can trust in him. Remember what he says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your paths. That's humility. That's, you're not going to be proud and trust the Lord. That doesn't work. So, Rehoboam Back to 2 Chronicles, Rehoboam now becomes in service to Shishak, and Shishak, he comes up against Jerusalem. He takes all the treasures of the house of the Lord, verse 9, treasures of the king's house. He takes it all. He carries away the shields of gold which Solomon had made. I mean, he's having his way here, but Rehoboam's still king. 10, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. Verse 12, and when he humbled himself, this is kind of a recap, and when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah, things went well. Ooh. Wow. Now, we've seen this several times in Rehoboam. He humbles himself, he seeks the Lord, or people around him are seeking the Lord, and things go well. But when he forsakes the law of the Lord, things turn around. And once again, the narrator tells us things went well. Now, we as readers of this ought to pay attention. I venture to guess that you would like things in your life to what? Go well. Right? So what do we learn from this? Don't forsake the law of the Lord. Don't forsake the law of the Lord. Remember that He is righteous. Remember the Lord sees humility and He does honor it. Verse 13, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself. Oh, no. Oh, no, not this. Dare I even read on? Okay, we'll read on. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. He was 41 when he became king. And verse 14, and he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet, and the end of Edo the seer concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah his son reigned in his stead. You know, reading through this list of kings and their stories, we can learn. It is valuable for us. Because we understand and realize that humility is something that God honors and desires for us in our lives. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The book of Proverbs, of course, has much to say on this. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Isn't that interesting? Listen, we, of all people, we should get this. God's telling us the secret here, if you want to say it that way. Proverbs 16, 18 and 19. Pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 18, 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 29, 23. A man's pride shall bring him low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now catch that. A man's pride shall bring him low. But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So in other words, living in humility, that's the way we ought to live our lives. And honor shall uphold us. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. Lord, I thank you for the things that we can learn, and you've confronted us on this subject of humility. And I'm thankful for that, Lord. I'm thankful that we can consider this personally in our lives. And God, we pray collectively, Lord, that we would get this, we would understand this. And that, Lord, there would be much fruit of humility in our lives. And that we collectively would be a humble people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.